This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And happy 414 day. There's a lot going on around town today. And, oh, Jack, before you leave the newsroom, let me check in with you and see, what does 414 day mean to you?
Wow, that's an interesting question. What does it mean to me? Well, you know, I've been living in Milwaukee for less than a year, and I absolutely love it here. I'm a Illinois native, and I think it's phenomenal. And I think it's a really cool way to celebrate, you know, the culture, why people love the city. And I'm excited to feel the anticipation and excitement and atmosphere around Milwaukee today.
And you know, I'm originally from Indiana through the Chicago area and finally back up here. And I've lived in Milwaukee for 15 years. And I got to tell you, I love this city. I really do. And there's so much going on. I mean, they're going to have what? Something at City Hall, I think, later on today?
Yep. Flag drop at City Hall, 10 a.m. Going to see a big old 414 flag. Really cool celebration of Milwaukee's culture and making people excited about living here and spending time here.
And that, of course, is open to the public.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean,
it's open
to the public.
You go to
that.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing we should be really excited about is here at the 3rd Street Market Hall, they're going to celebrate beginning at 11 o'clock this morning with a special Milwaukee-centric market. That's going to go on all day from 11 until 5, where they've got like 34 local vendors. They're going to have face painting. They're going to have themed cocktails. They're going to have all kinds of celebrations going out right here where the radio station is.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great way to celebrate. Excited to see people, you know, coming out and sharing a little Milwaukee pride. Why not?
I love it. And, of course, you're going to be here throughout the morning. In addition to being in the newsroom, you're going to be helping us out at the sports desk as well. So you've got a busy day.
Oh, yeah. Excited to spend some time here and get people excited for their Sunday.
All right. Well, we'll check in again with Jack Brown in just a few minutes. But let me tell you what's going on with the show today on this 414 day. We've got Michelle Reinen. She's our consumer expert. She's going to talk about those debt relief scams. Also, does your kid ever talk about being a graphic artist or a video game designer? We're going to find out if AI is going to affect their job prospects. Also, Mark Cass is here for his penultimate interview on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. He's going to talk about a downtown hotel that's filing for Chapter 11. Also, Matt Miller's here talking about the Milwaukee Film Festival and some of the movies that are going to be shown today in honor of 414 Day. Speaking of movies, we're going to revisit what Milwaukee filmmaker David Zucker of Airplane and Naked Gun fame had to say about the now-deceased O.J. Simpson. And if you missed the original interview on Conversations a couple of years back, you're going to want to hear this because it kind of opens the door and gives you a little bit of insight of O.J. and his temper before those murders. Also, we're going to look back at the week in review. Isaac, of course, is here pushing buttons. Jack Rau is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, he's going to be back with sports as well. And it is going to be just a beautiful spring day. Sunny and warm. That lake breeze is going to come in this afternoon. We're going to feel about 75 near the lake, 78 inland. Oh, a lot of people are going to be out with the dogs. They're going to be out with kites. They're going to be out along the lakefront. It is going to be a gorgeous day. It's 65 at 8:11 on WTMJ. And coming up next, it's sports.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. One last dance for the regular season, that is. The Milwaukee Bucks will take on the Orlando Magic for their final regular season matchup. Giannis Antetokounmpo will not be on the court as he nurses his left coleus injury. The Magic came to Milwaukee on April 10th and lost that matchup 99-117. Currently, the Bucks hold the 2 seed of the Eastern Conference, but that could change if they lose today's matchup and the 3-seeded New York Knicks defeat the Chicago Bulls. The Brewers are one win away from a sweep in Baltimore. Final score of the matchup yesterday, 11-5. Baltimore jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, but it was no match for the 3 runs in the third and 4 runs in the fourth inning from the Brew Crew. The Brewers are currently first in the NL Central. Wisconsin softball pulling off a big win yesterday, 10-5 against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Badgers put up 6 runs in the fifth inning. It's the first consecutive wins for Wisconsin since March. They'll take on Ohio State again today at 1. In California, Natalie Block broke Milwaukee's 400-meter hurdle record as a group of UW-Milwaukee Panthers competed at the Brian Clay Invitational. Block had a running time of 58.67 seconds and earned the third place at the meet. The Marquette men's lacrosse team lost its big Eastern Conference home opener to Providence 13-10 yesterday afternoon. Not much news in terms of the Green Bay Packers, but here's a reminder of their draft capital going into the 2024 draft. Number 25 overall, having a lower draft pick because of a playoff win this year, getting a second round, 2 second round picks, 2 picks in the third round, 1 fourth, 1 fifth, 1 sixth round pick, 2 sixth round picks, and 2 seventh round picks. They are down a left tackle with David Bakhtiari. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
All right, Jack, I've got to stop you right there. Now, you said Giannis has what kind of injury again?
That is a left coleus injury. I actually had my mom, who was a nurse for several years, break down what that injury is like when I asked her about it. So basically, he's injured his left calf. He injured that during the latest matchup against the Boston Celtics. And if you go back and watch it, he's just, getting ready to jog down to the other side of the court. He just stops and he sits down. And I remember watching that. I'm like, oh no. So we'll see what happens. We're guaranteed a playoff, position. I'm just interested to see what that really ends up being. But we know that he's not going to play this last game. He hasn't played the last 2 regular season games. So,
well, I know you said that your mom's a nurse, and obviously she hasn't treated or been in contact with Giannis. But what is normally the time frame for an injury like that to heal?
I can't say for certain when the coach Doc Rivers spoke about it. He seemed to think that Giannis could be back for the playoff run, but I think they're just taking it a day at a time,
I hope he is. All right. Thanks so much. Jack will be back with us with news at 8:30 this morning. He's really working hard today. It's 8:16. We're up to 65 degrees at WTMJ. And coming up next, we've got Mark Cass. He's got some background on the hotel in downtown Milwaukee that's filing for Chapter 11. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is going to be a mostly sunny and warm Sunday. Oh, it's a beautiful spring day. We've got that lake breeze that's going to be coming in this afternoon. We're going to get up to about 75 degrees as you're close to the lake. And as you go a little bit further inland, all the way up to 78. Yep, that means it's close to 80. Then tonight, mainly cleared with some light wind down to 44. Tomorrow, another great day, sunny and mild. Again, that lake breeze coming in with a high of 65, 71 inland. But, Tuesday, rain and storms, windy, and a high of 55. Wednesday, we'll get back up to around 64, but another chance of that rain coming through. And then Thursday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy, with a high of 58 degrees. Currently in Mequon, we have 64. Racine's at 61. Oconomowoc has 62, and it is 65 degrees at WTMJ at 820. It's time to check in with Mark Cass, the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal, and it is getting closer and closer, Mark. The RNC host committee held their 100 days out event, but now we're hearing concerns. Restaurants, right. Event space owners are saying things seem to be a little bit slow as far as commitments are concerned. What are you hearing?
Yeah, this one's interesting because I think everyone's looking at 2020. Here, Libby, and things were further ahead. I mean, a lot of spaces were booked out early, a lot of restaurants were early, because remember, by now in 2020, we were already in COVID and things had shut down. So this one's just happening a little slower. There is some concern there. Hopefully this will still come forward. We heard this week from the RNC host committee that, yes, over the next month or two, you'll start to see a lot more of these events booked. About a week ago, all of the states were assigned hotels. So now that kind of helps that process because they know where there are. It's also interesting. One of the things I heard this week, Libby, which is very interesting to me, was that for the 24th convention for the Democrats, all of the delegations are staying at eight overall hotels. In Milwaukee, in a region, it's over 100. So that just shows how much more it's spread out here and how many more areas will be impacted because it's all the way from Milwaukee to Kenosha to Lake Geneva, all the way north into Sheboygan. So a good range of economic impacts. I think, Libby, over the next month or so, we're going to see this really get going. I think the only wild card, and I've been saying this all along, is Trump factor. There are some companies, there are some individuals who may not come as a result of Trump just because of what he brings with and some of the concerns there. So I think that is, but we still have heard from the RNC that it's going to be big, it's going to be impactful, we just have to wait.
That's interesting that you bring that up because right. It appears that he is the presumptive nominee.
I think that's
and
a pretty good bet, yes.
Yeah, and as you said, he is a polarizing figure.
Yes.
And what you're hearing is that some organizations, some corporate sponsors might not participate because he would be the nominee?
I think there might be some who will, but maybe at a smaller scale. Because over the years, you've seen some of the companies who've been around him who've gotten a lot of opposition, right? Hopefully them here, you might see them in smaller numbers, maybe not as vocal, maybe not as active. I mean, it's hard to argue with the Trump factor. He does have an impact. He does bring a lot of spotlight when he shows up. So that's what I'm hearing. We'll see how that plays out over the next month or so. But I do think it will have an impact, no doubt about it.
So maybe not as many corporate events as there would have been otherwise.
Let's hope not, because I want to see you out and about with your gown at all the big events, because I know anywhere you go, I'm going to try to go too.
Well, let's talk about the Milwaukee Marriott. Speaking of hotels downtown,
yeah.
I think people were surprised that they filed for Chapter 11 reorganization.
Yeah.
What does this say about the downtown hotel market?
This one was interesting. I didn't see it coming, but we have had some issues with hotels in the area over the past year. So we had the Iron Horse out, Chapter 11. We've had a couple other smaller hotels who ended up closing or in foreclosure. This is a pretty well-known hotel, pretty large name. A lot of their issues, from what they're saying, are not about the operations of the hotel, but about some of the loans and other things that have been on there, how they were impacted through COVID. Remember, all hotels really were greatly impacted by COVID. They are still operating the hotel. From what we hear, they're hoping that things will operate as normal as they work through this. This is a reorganization plan. It's nothing more than that. So important, but I think the overall hotel market, I've heard this from a number of people, is good, but not great. You've seen the return of the leisure traveler. There's a lot of that, but you haven't seen the return of the business traveler nearly as much. There's fewer events, fewer conferences. There's just fewer of that, and that impacts hotels, kind of like a Marriott, which is where a lot of those travelers will stay.
All right, let's move on to another area of the city, and that's a Third Ward, the historic Third Ward Association. They're a little bit concerned about this possibility of I-794 being torn down. What are they really worried about, and do we have a timeline for that decision?
It's an interesting one to me because as we've seen some of the things happening down in the Third Ward, you've seen some work on the streets. You've seen it with the Heinz Project, as you and I have talked about the impact of the Heinz Project down there. As Water Street kind of flows through there, what they're trying to do is actually narrow the street a bit so they have traffic moving through there at a slower speed. So the concern is from the Third Ward that if you tore down the freeway and you put all that traffic on the streets of the Third Ward, how would it impact them? What would be the accessibility issues? What would be kind of all the congestion issues? So while not saying anyone's opposed to it, they're saying we need to address these concerns if we're going to have all the traffic no longer on the freeway, but actually coming to the Third Ward. How this is going to work out over the next couple of months is really going to be interesting to see. I think in fall, you're going to see maybe some sort of recommendation from the state in terms of which plan will be endorsed. And then this could get going 25, 26, all depending on where they are. There are a lot of people who want this to occur, ripping the freeway down. There's others who do have some concerns, as I've said. So we'll see. A lot of focus, big spotlight. This happened in this community 20 years ago, and obviously worked well then. Will it work here? I don't know, but it's going to be real interesting to watch.
I want to talk to you about one of your favorite subjects, and that's pickleball.
Yeah,
you're the one who told me that there was going to be this huge indoor court planned for Brookfield, but now
16.
It's not going to happen. So where is it going, or is it going to exist at all?
I think this will. I think what happened there was an issue with costs. And there still is a chance it could end up in Brookfield in this spot. They are looking at other sites. I've been saying for months here, you will see one or two or potentially three of these in the Milwaukee area over the next year or two. There's just so much interest in this sport growing throughout the country. You're seeing these things pop up left and right throughout the country, whether it's Phoenix, Florida. People have asked me where, and I always say it's got to be a large site. So really look around the shopping malls for those large stores that are not in use anymore, whether it's a grocery store, an electronics store, those large stores. I think you'd see one kind of in the Greendale area, west out in Brookfield. You could see something north up in Mequon. There's just a lot of interest in this sport, and there are very few indoor courts. So I think it's going to happen, and I think you'll see this. This is kind of the trend right now. It's a hot sport.
You mentioned Brookfield. Do you think there's any chance that instead of being in that grocery store spot, that they might be looking at the old Brookfield Square Shopping Center?
I think shopping centers are a great site. That's kind of what I was saying in Greendale. You have large open spots there, right? What is a great way to have the traffic, to have these people come play, come have something to eat, hang out? That's kind of what they do. So, yeah, I would not be surprised. I've not heard anything yet, but I would not be surprised at all.
You know, Milwaukee is all over TV. This week you had, of course, Top Chef. You had Adam Pollock on Beat Bobby Flay.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it? I don't know if you watched that. It was pretty cool to watch him do that, watch what he cooked with that steak and the potatoes.
But with all of this spotlight on national television, we're going to see more tourists coming to town. And I know Visit Milwaukee is going to be at an event. Actually, they're unveiling its new brand for the city at an event hosted by the Milwaukee Business Journal. Let's talk about the importance of tourism to the city.
Yeah, you really can't overstate its importance, Libby. I mean, you think about what's going to go on here just in 2024 with the RNC and how many people are coming with Summerfest, State Fair, all the events that we have here, and kind of what it means to the area, what it means to the region, what it means to restaurants, hotels, retailers. So important, and it's growing. I think with the expansion of the Bay Area Center, which is going to open here in the next couple of weeks, that's huge for the city because it just adds to all the people. I've talked a lot on your show about energy and activity west of the river, right? And what drives that? All the stuff that's going on at the Convention Center, all the stuff that's happening at the 3rd Street Food Hall, all the stuff that's happening in the MSO, that's all driven through these people who come into my town and spend money here, right? So that's what we want. So the new idea of the new brand is great. And the thing I've always heard about the RNC is 24 is an important year, but they've even more important years are 25, 26, 27, when the hope is these people who came to the RNC are going to come again, or these people who were sitting in Atlanta, were sitting in Albuquerque, were sitting in Austin, and saw Milwaukee on the RNC event and say, I want to visit that city. So I think it's going to have a larger impact over the years, and a refreshed brand is very important.
And the best thing is, we don't have to travel here. We get to live in Milwaukee.
We get to live here. We get to walk around and eat at the great restaurants and hang out at Summerfest. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mark Cass, always great to have you here.
I'll talk to you next week.
And a happy 414 day to you. It's 828 on WTMJ. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:35, a little bit later on this half hour. Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com will be joining us. Well, this week we had a presidential visit to Madison. Also, there was the death of an athlete turned infamous accused murderer. And there was also a break in a human remains case. So much more as well. It's the Weekend Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
President Joe Biden is heading to Madison today. The White House says he'll be announcing a new student loan forgiveness program.
There are some crowds outside, there's some protesters. And then on the inside, there's about, I'd say, 200-ish.
I get instructions from my wife, who's a school teacher. She said, make sure you say hello to the mayor. I really like being with her.
After 10 years with only one tuition hike, a 3.75% increase is estimated to bring $39 million a year to the system.
We consider this a modest increase in light of recent inflation levels.
The governor will sign the PRINCE Act this morning at Hawley Environmental School in Milwaukee.
Any system that we put in place may have gaps, and you don't recognize gaps until it's too late.
This is an example of what should happen when we find out that there are loopholes or fragments in laws.
Suspect dead after police officers shot the 50-year-old man. They were on scene for attempted vehicle theft.
The suspect was transferred to an area hospital for advanced care, where it's later pronounced deceased.
A bomb threat was made to Milwaukee French Immersion School before the school day began Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, a bomb threat was made to Brookfield Elementary.
The Wisconsin work ethic shows through.
Commander of the 128th Air Refueling Wing, Colonel Charlie Merkel, his proud unit, one of just a handful in the country being considered for a fleet of new refueling tankers.
The tanker is a gas station in the sky for our military planes. It also represents a new era in air-to-air refueling.
Across the country, more than 100,000 patients need a life-saving transplant. In Wisconsin, more than 1,400 people.
I hope that everybody that's physically able to does.
We need the sounder for this.
Fire away.
We got ourselves some breaking news.
Oh, good. All right.
Breaking news from the National Football League about our Green Bay Packers, the NFL making official what a lot of folks had suspected once the Philadelphia Eagles were said to be playing a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Their opponent will be
the Green Bay Packers.
Any final thoughts?
Go, Pack, go.
Justice Ann Walsh Bradley says she will not run for another 10-year term. Bradley making that announcement this morning that it's time to pass the torch.
Representative Bob Donovan's house is no longer in the district he represents. He plans to run in what was his district. That means if he wins, he'll have to rent or buy a new house.
I'll tell you, I've been checking out the rents, and the last time I rented an apartment, it was for $210.
You said it, the rent is too damn high.
Another attempt at early release denied for Morgan Geiser.
So in this matter, after hearing all the credible evidence, I'm satisfied that the petition should be denied. So ordered.
This is a bittersweet show because tonight is my final night as host of WTMJ at Night. I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of great producers, and I've been touched because most of them reached out and said, hey, we'd like to come on your final show and share a few words.
I loved producing for you. All the times you called me Pancake, the memories that we made. I can't believe Scott Warris, it's your last TMJ. Wait, oh, he doesn't host anymore? Who hosts now? Who? Oh, the beer guy?
Boom. Roasted.
O.J. Simpson's family posted on social media. Our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer.
To breaking news ahead of the news conference scheduled for 10 o'clock this morning, there is a criminal complaint, charges filed against the person of interest in the discovery of the human leg. The charge, first-degree intentional homicide against Maxwell Anderson.
A preliminary investigation have shown that the leg is Ms. Robinson's.
What a week.
Go, back, go.
You can get down on that thing.
Wordle nerdles.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 8:39. We're up to 65 degrees at WTMJ. It is going to be a beautiful day. And coming up next, do you have some debt? Would you like some to get some relief from that? Well, we're going to tell you about something you need to watch out for if you're looking for that. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Lots of sunshine. It's going to feel warm. We've got that lake breeze coming in. We're going to have to about 75 degrees, 78 as you go further inland than tonight, mainly clear, with about 44 for a low. Tomorrow, another great day, mostly sunny and mild with temperatures reaching in the mid-60s near the lake and about 71 to 72 as you get further inland. Right now, Cedarburg has 66 degrees. Oak Creek, you're at 66. Brookfield has 65. And we have 67 degrees at Milwaukee at 842. We're hearing that credit card debt is up, and that means a lot of people are looking for relief. But are you going to get taken advantage of? Let's go to our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen from DatCap, and find out, what about these debt relief services? Are they legitimate?
Well, there are some legitimate debt relief services out there, but there are many dishonest debt relief companies that will take your money and do little or nothing to help you. And those are the ones we want to make sure consumers are aware of and can identify their red flags, if you will. And one of those is if you're asked to pay any fee up front, that's just illegal. So never pay anyone who tries to collect fees from you up front because it is a significant red flag. And don't share your financial or personal information with someone who calls unexpectedly. Do your research. Pick the company you want to work with. You certainly don't need to convert any of your debt and deal with a company that comes to you out of the blue. And we also want you to avoid anyone who guarantees you results from a, quote, new government program for a fee or tries to enroll you without first actually reviewing your specific financial situation. They can't make guarantees if they don't know what your situation is. And those new government programs can be few and far between.
Michelle, if you think that you need debt relief, but you're not sure where to go for some help, what's the hotline we can call to find out more?
You can call 1-800-422-7128. And one thing they'll really encourage you to do is try and find a credit counseling program to help you manage your money that you can research up front.
It's 8:44. You're a minute away from Jack Rowan Sports.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Sports desk, one last dance for the regular season. That is The Milwaukee Bucks will take on the Orlando Magic for their final regular season matchup today. Giannis will not be on the court as he nurses his left coleus injury that he sustained against the Boston Celtics. The Magic came to Milwaukee on April 10th and lost that matchup 99-117. Currently, the Bucks hold the 2 seed of the Eastern Conference, but that could change if they lose today's matchup and the 3-seeded New York Knicks defeat the Chicago Bulls. The Brewers are just 1 game away from a sweep in Baltimore. Final score of the matchup yesterday, 11-5. Baltimore jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, but it was no match for the 3 runs put up in the 3rd inning and 4 runs put up in the 4th inning from the Brew Crew. The Brewers are currently the first in the NL Central. The Wisconsin softball team pulling off a big win yesterday, 10-5 against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Badgers putting up 6 runs in the 5th inning. It's the first consecutive wins for Wisconsin since March. They'll take on Ohio State again today at 1. In California, Natalie Block broke Milwaukee's 400-meter hurdle record as a group of UW-Milwaukee Panthers competed at the Brian Clay Invitational. Block had a running time of 58.67 seconds and earned 3rd place at the meet. The Marquette men's lacrosse team lost its Big East Conference home opener to Providence 13-10 yesterday afternoon. No big news for the Green Bay Packers, just a rundown of the draft capital they have going into this year. Number 25 overall in the first round, then two second round picks, 2 third round picks, 1 pick in the 4th, 1 pick in the 5th, then 2 picks in the 6th, and 2 picks in the 7th. They might be looking for a left tackle, as all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari retired after this season. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Jack. It's 8:47, and we have 67 degrees at WTMJ.
Hey, he's Brady looking good. I must be crazy. I'm not out tonight.
It's time to check in with Matt Miller. He, of course, is with OnMilwaukee.com as their pop culture and media editor. And let's talk about the big news around Milwaukee this week, and that is the film festival, where what they're going to show, is it 300 different films?
Yeah, that's including short films as well, so don't be horribly intimidated by that number. But yeah, they've got so many terrific movies. They started things off Thursday night with the documentary Sherry and Lamb Chop about the legendary childhood TV character and TV performer, which was really a warm, wonderful way to start the film festival. Just a really nice blast of nostalgia to start things off. Yeah, and they've got films all the way now through the 25th, showing at the Oriental, the Avalon, the Times, and yes, the Downer. The Downer is back open after being in hibernation and will be open after the film festival as well. So please keep going to the Downer after the film festival as well. We got it back to life. We definitely want to keep it lively as well. So a lot of really great stuff to see all around Milwaukee these next few weeks.
Well, Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop. I mean, who didn't love Lamb Chop? And I look forward to seeing that film. But are there any others that kind of piqued your interest that you said, this is a do not miss for me?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a full list of the movies that I'm most excited about at onmilwaukee.com right now. But some of the ones that I'm very excited about, there's one called Gasoline Rainbow that I'm excited about. That one comes from the directors of a movie called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, a documentary about the last night at a legendary Vegas dive bar. And I remember watching that movie during the pandemic quarantine, and just it was really, really a great documentary, really capturing the people who come and go out of these kind of dive bars and what they mean to people. So I'm excited to see their new movie, which is about a bunch of high schoolers going on a road trip to the West Coast. I'm excited about that one. I'm very excited about the Closing Night movie, which is called Robot Dreams, an animated movie and recent Oscar-nominated animated movie about a lonely dog who buys himself a robot to be his best friend.
Wait a minute. How does the dog pay for the robot?
Probably with dog money, I imagine.
Oh, okay.
Probably
with
doglers. I don't know. But they become friends, and they hang out around the city, and it looks incredibly charming. It looks really delightful. I think that'll be a perfect way to bring the festival to a close. Another one I'm excited about is called Monster. This is from the director of the Oscar-nominated movie Shoplifters, another kind of family melodrama about a mother who's trying to figure out why her son got in trouble at school. The Shoplifters movie came out, I think, 2018. And I remember showing up to a festival screening of that, and it was during a Packer game and entirely sold out. That tells you what this director can do. So I'm very excited to see that one as well. And of course, they've got sports documentaries throughout the film festival. For instance, one's about the first unofficial Women's World Cup soccer tournament. They've got horror movies if you're a big fan of weird, crazy horror films and midnight movies. They've got great documentaries about subjects of all kinds, whether political or houseplants or just weird stories from across the country. It's just a really great chance. I always tell people, if you have an interest in something, you should definitely find something that interests you at the Milwaukee Film Festival.
So today is 414 Day. Tell us about what we can see at the film festival.
Yes, I highly recommend checking out the Milwaukee show tonight at the Oriental. It's always one of the most prideful events in the city. You've got Milwaukee filmmakers showing off their latest locally themed works in front of a crowd filled with Milwaukeeans and fellow local filmmakers. The energy in that room is always electric, and it's going to be even more so tonight, considering it is Milwaukee Day. It is 414 Day, so definitely check that out tonight. I think that is the ultimate way to celebrate Milwaukee Day at the Milwaukee Film Festival.
All right, let's talk about something that's opening wide, and that's Civil War. Fascinating plotline for this one.
Yeah, this comes from Alex Garland, who I'm a big fan of. He did Ex Machina, Annihilation. He wrote 28 Days Later. He's a really, really interesting sci-fi writer, and this is a drama thriller about what if Civil War broke out in America. It's not the war movie that they're selling on TV. They're selling it as kind of like a Black Hawk Down style big action thriller, and it's more of a drama about the journalists trying to cover all of this Civil War. So first of all, it's an A24 movie, which means it's definitely a little bit more, you know, dramatic in minded rather than entertainment wise. I also will say, I found this movie really disappointing. I, as someone who loves most of this guy's movies, I found this movie really weirdly empty. And for a movie that he's talked about, he wants this to be a tribute to journalists. Its take on journalists seems really strangely callous and really strangely like, oh, they don't care. I think it's a kind of weirdly misguided movie. So if you're going to see anything this weekend, I would recommend taking a look at the Milwaukee Film Festival lineup and seeing something at the Milwaukee Film Festival instead.
We've been following Top Chef. Obviously, because it was filmed here in Wisconsin, and last week's episode, they went to see the Frank Lloyd Wright sites around not just Milwaukee, but Taliesin. What was your review for this past week's episode? Did you like it better than the cheese one?
I'm of two minds of this last week's episode. As a Wisconsinite, I really enjoyed seeing a kind of underappreciated part of Wisconsin culture given such a spotlight. The first third to fourth of the episode is just them touring Milwaukee and Wisconsin and these Frank Lloyd Wright buildings. So it's a really kind of beautiful snapshot of this architecture around the state that I think maybe if you're not a Wisconsinite, you don't really know that he has such a footprint here in Wisconsin. That being said, there's still not enough drama this season. There's still, where's the flavor? Where's the spice this season? This last episode had the biggest fight we've seen, the biggest drama between chefs, and even that was kind of more mellow and low-key than in past seasons, where I really need some personality to start popping off this season, because otherwise else, it's really Wisconsin that's carrying the weight of bringing the color and the excitement to the season.
But isn't that so apropos? Because wherever I go, people say, oh, you're Wisconsin nice. And pretty much that's been Top Chef this season. It's Wisconsin nice.
It's been very Wisconsin nice right now, and unfortunately it doesn't make for great Hollywood drama, but it's been an enjoyable season. I do think there's a little bit of kind of the Great British Baking showification of reality TV here, where everyone loves the nice competition shows now, and they don't want as much of the obviously scripted drama. And I don't like that scripted drama too. I don't like it when it's forced, but I like some drama. I like some conflict. And I think the season is still kind of missing that right now. But, you know, it's starting to get really heated now. We've had a double elimination this past week. Things are going to start getting really serious. Restaurant Wars is going to be coming up. There's always tension during Restaurant Wars. So I'm sure the flavor is coming. It's just a late burn, it feels like. The flavor kicks in a little late on the palate.
And, of course, this week you can go and watch Top Chef with Matt Miller with the On Milwaukee viewing party. Let's tell everybody about that.
Every Wednesday, we're at Zocalo in Walker's Point. We watch the episode, and then me and my colleague, Lori Frederick, who actually knows food, I just enjoy eating it, talk about the episode, talk about what we liked, talk about what we didn't like, talk about who we think is going to go home next, talk about how Dan Jacobs is doing. It's always a lot of fun, and there's even discount drinks as well. So definitely join every Wednesday until the season wraps.
We're looking forward to it. Matt, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to revisit an interview I did a number of years ago with filmmaker David Zucker. Remember, he did the Airplane movie? He did all of the Naked Gun movies, and he worked with O.J. Simpson, who passed away just a couple days ago. Well, he had something to say about O.J., and that's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2. A little bit later on, we're going to be hearing from somebody about graphic design and whether or not that's a good career choice for young people. But right now, we've got Jack here. And Jack, last Sunday, I think Jessica was working with us in the newsroom, and the story was starting to break about the suspect that was, at the time, he was just a person of interest who was being held, Maxwell Anderson, held in custody. And then also there was a separate story about the disappearance of Shardae Robinson, and subsequently in the last several days, these two stories have come together. Is there anything new on that today?
Not since the press release from Milwaukee County Law Enforcement on Friday, where they laid out the charges against Maxwell Anderson and the process of them coming to being able to administer those charges to him. So we haven't had any new information since Friday.
But apparently there was some internet rumor. Oh, don't you just love that? At one point saying that the suspect, Maxwell Anderson, had been released on bond, and what they're holding him on $5 million.
He does have a $5 million bond, and I saw for myself a communication from Milwaukee County Police that the bond has not been posted, and Maxwell Anderson is in custody. That bond has not been posted.
Okay, and one last question: these body parts that they have discovered, is it confirmed that they did belong to Shardae Robinson?
It was April 2nd that a leg was found in Warnemont Park, and it was confirmed that that leg found in Cudahy belonged to Shardae Robinson. Other human remains that have been found have not been confirmed to belong to Shardae Robinson, but that leg, authorities believe it did belong to her.
It's just a grisly case, and I know we're going to be hearing more about that in coming months. But, of course, that brings us to something that happened now 30 years ago. Very grisly case, and the person that a lot of people feel did it passed away this week, and that, of course, is O.J. Simpson. Am I correct to assume that you were not around when that occurred, Jack?
No, I was not around, but I have learned quite a bit about it.
I was, and not only, you know, was I old enough to recall it, I was on the air at the time, and let me tell you that for almost a year, people didn't want to talk about anything else. I mean, from the moment that we all watched that Ford Bronco slow chase through Los Angeles that broke in on the NBA Finals. So you can imagine the number of eyes that were on that. And I remember that night watching it on TV and waiting to see what was going to happen, because at that point it became apparent that not only had O.J. Simpson's wife been murdered in the most horrendous way, that he was the primary suspect. And then, of course, there were those 9 months of trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, you weren't around. That was broadcast every single day, not just on network television, but radio stations carried it. I mean, you could kind of time your day around it, because they would have the trial, and then they'd break for regular programming, you know, when they'd take lunch breaks or whatever, and then they would resume it. This is all people talked about. And, of course, you know, names like Judge Ito and Johnny Cochran, Marcia Clark and Cato Kalin, those all became household names. And, you know, before that, people didn't watch court TV. That really is what came to the forefront because of this trial. Now, of course, as we said, O.J. Simpson passed away this week, and I haven't really heard many people say, oh, what a shame. And it is interesting to note that the NFL usually posts quite a bit on social media whenever a player of status passes away. They haven't touched it.
No, they haven't.
They haven't said a thing. And O.J., I mean, when he was playing football, both as a Heisman Trophy winner and as a professional, he was huge.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And you know, went on to be a sideline commentator, obviously multiple endorsements. And then he ended up in the movies.
Yeah, he did.
And I had the opportunity on WTMJ Conversations a couple of years back to talk with Milwaukee-born filmmaker David Zucker. And, of course, you know him because he did the Airplane movies.
Oh, yeah.
He also did the Naked Gun movies, which made O.J. Simpson a movie star. And, in fact, and I don't know if you realize this, O.J. had attended the premiere of Naked Gun 33 1/2 with his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, just 3 months before her murder. And I had an opportunity to ask David Zucker about what he thought about O.J. I have to ask you this, David. O.J. Simpson was in those movies.
Yes.
At the time, when you were working with him, was there any inkling in your interaction that maybe things weren't all that they seemed with him?
There was no inkling for us. I mean, he was, pretty nice guy. And, I thought he actually improved as an actor with each movie. But, you know, there was one time on the set when I was doing an impersonation of Howard Cosell, and, you know, which was about O.J. crying on the phone. And he got angry about that. He said, never happened. That never happened.
Really?
That's BS, man. That never happened. And that was the only time when a cloud came over. And then I was shocked when, you know, the murders happened. I didn't feel good about it. And my phone started ringing, and so I left town. I went to New York for a week just to visit some friends.
Did your paths ever cross since then?
Never crossed since then. Yeah, I didn't want to because, I mean, what was I going to say? Hey, Juice. Hey, how you doing? Nice murder. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say. I mean, I think it's terrible. But he did serve time in jail. I mean, I think there's no question that he murdered them. And then the fact that he got away with it is just outrageous. I mean, that's just my personal feeling.
And of course, and by the way, you can hear that interview if you go to WTMJ.com. We've got it on the Conversations page. But the amazing thing, Jack, is that so many people, even back then, and there was such emotion in this country when the verdict was read, and it was divided down racial lines, where the white community felt he did it. Great majority of members of the African-American community felt that he had been framed. But I think minds have changed in the past 30 years, and there are very few people out there who still think that O.J. Simpson was not guilty. But, of course, at least now, I'm sure God has told O.J. Simpson who the real murderer is. It's 9:15. You're just a couple minutes away from Jack Brown Sports right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Sports desk, one last dance for the regular season. That is, the Milwaukee Bucks will take on the Orlando Magic for their final regular season matchup. Giannis will not be on the court as he nurses his left coleus injury. The Magic came to Milwaukee on April 10th and lost that matchup 99-117. The Bucks currently hold the 2 seed of the Eastern Conference, but that could change if they lose today's matchup and the 3-seeded New York Knicks defeat the Chicago Bulls. The Brewers are one win away from a sweep in Baltimore. Final score of the matchup yesterday, 11-5. Baltimore jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, but it was no match for the 3 runs in the third and 4 runs in the fourth inning put up by the Brew Crew. The Brewers are currently first in the NL Central. Wisconsin's softball team pulling off a big win yesterday, 10-5 against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Badgers putting up 6 runs in the 5th inning. It's the first consecutive wins for Wisconsin since March. They'll take on Ohio State again today at 1. In California, Natalie Block broke Milwaukee's 400-meter hurdle record as a group of UW-Milwaukee Panthers competed at the Brian Clay Invitational. Block had a running time of 58.67 seconds and earned third place at the meet. The Marquette men's lacrosse team lost its Big East Conference home opener to Providence 13-10 yesterday afternoon. And no major news out of the Green Bay Packers, but an update on their draft capital. In the first round, number 25 overall, then they have 2 picks in the second round, 2 picks in the third round, 1 pick in the fourth round, 1 pick in the fifth round, 1 pick in the fourth, 2 rounds and 2 picks in the sixth round, and 2 picks in the seventh round.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Good to have you here this morning, not just in the newsroom, but also at the sports desk. It's 9:19, and we have 67 degrees. We'll have your forecast right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is going to be a beautiful spring day. Lots of sunshine, the breeze coming in from the lake. It's going to get up to 75 degrees. If you are close to the lake, 78 further inland. Then tonight, clear. A little bit of a breeze, 44 for a low. Tomorrow, again, sunny and mild, 65 near the lake, 71 inland. Tuesday, though, that's where we're going to see some rain and storms likely, only 55 for a high. Lots of wind, too. Same thing on Wednesday, but we'll get up to 64 degrees. And then Thursday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy, with a high of 58. Currently, Sheboygan has 60 degrees. Tosa, you're at 69. Delafield has 66. It's 67 degrees at WTMJ. At 9:23.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
Welcome to the Sunday Sip. I am Sandy Max, and joining me is the Dodgeville Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, Jenna Vondra. Jenna, welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good.
And you are doing it up in the Dairy State with a very fun event. What is happening?
Yeah, so we're hosting our 11th annual Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship
Yum.
In Dodgeville on April 20th.
Now, who came up with this appetizing idea?
So it was brought up by a gentleman named Lauren Topper. He created this event to kind of talk about and promote local dairy farmers and everything that has to do with cheese. So,
why was this so meaningful to Lauren?
I think he just had a passion for it and passion for farming. And he grew up in the area and in Highland, I believe. And he just wanted to promote farmers and represent them the way that they should be.
Well, this gathering of cheese lovers and grilled cheese creators is a great way to showcase a passion for something Wisconsin is known for.
Correct. And who doesn't love a grilled cheese sandwich?
I know I do. What are the different categories in this championship?
Yeah, so we have our amateur category, professionals, youth, and then we also have first responders who compete in their own category. And then in each category, we have like your classic traditional sandwich. We have plus one ingredient. And then plus extra ingredients. And then we also have a dessert category as well.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because I think people can get really creative with their grilled cheese sandwiches. What are some of the most uniquely delicious combinations you've seen over the past 10 years?
Oh, they create a lot of them, a lot of unique things. I think the winner of the professional category last year used quail eggs. So they go all out. They go from bacon to different types of cheeses to all the way to quail eggs.
That is a very surprising ingredient.
Yeah.
You hear about the sun-dried tomato, the bacon, the pickles, but quail eggs is a surprise to me.
It is it's a surprising, but everyone seemed to really enjoy it. So
I have to think that there's a lot of pride in the competitors so far. Have you had repeat winners who were there for bragging rights?
Yeah, so we had a winner who had won many years in a row in the amateur category. So we have in our rules that if you win 3 years in a row, you have to move up to the professional category. So last year he did move up to professional and compete, but he takes it very seriously. He takes a whole year to plan out his grilled cheeses. So
now, for people who want to come and witness the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship, what should they expect? walking in.
Yeah, so in addition to the competition, we also have food trucks and food booths. We have, this year we're going to have 16 vendors that will be there to sell, you know, your goods. We have some exhibit tables there. We also have a beer garden. We have wine. We have a Bloody Mary bar. We have kids area. So it's really family friendly and everybody can enjoy something there.
I hadn't thought of a pairing with a perfect beer or a perfect wine, but that makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah.
And what does a VIP ticket get you?
So the VIP tickets, you get a swag bag. This year, you're going to get a discount card to some of our local businesses that you can use that weekend or up to 6 months after the event. You also get a cup of tomato soup and you get a water bottle.
A cup of tomato soup, that is a perfect side for grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yes, there's a business in town who donates the soup to us. It's Bob's Barbecue. There's a naughty word in the middle of it that I can't say, but and he makes a cheese curd tomato soup. So there's actually cheese curds inside the tomato soup. It's wonderful.
We are leaning all the way into the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship, April 20th at Harris Park in Dodgeville, the Lay Memorial Pavilion?
Correct.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like so much fun. And tell me, as a guest, do you get to taste these grilled cheese sandwiches?
So with your VIP ticket, you do get 4 samples of that. If you do not have a VIP ticket, general admission does not get to sample the contestants' sandwiches, but our local FFA organization is there selling traditional grilled cheese sandwiches.
It's going to smell so good in there.
Yeah, it really does.
And I love that you work in first responders. Why is that? That you have first responders as part of the competition?
We just like to highlight them. They do such wonderful things and they support our community and help our community in such great ways that we kind of just want to support them and highlight them. And they get each year you'll get a trophy and it kind of travels around. So then you can get to keep the trophy in your bay or your office or things like that just to promote and say, hey, I made the best grilled cheese for this year. So.
And you get to stop by and thank them for their service because, boy, first responders make a huge difference.
Correct.
And you're making a huge difference by inspiring the next generation of cheese lovers by having this youth category. How old do you have to be to compete in the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship?
Yeah, so the youth category is ages 12 to 17. You can have a parent or a guardian or somebody cook with you, so it's not just like you're up there by yourself. But yeah, ages 12 to 17 can compete, and it's a wonderful time.
Tell us when this is happening and where to get tickets.
Yeah, so it's happening on April 20th at the Lay Memorial Pavilion in Dodgeville. You can get tickets through the Dodgeville Area Chamber Facebook page, or you can go to our website of grilledcheesewisconsin.com.
And Jenna, I can't let you leave without telling me what's your favorite cheese on a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, I'm pretty traditional. I like cheddar or probably pepper jack.
You can't go wrong. I'm guessing that your competitors are going to have some gourmet choices, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit busy and don't get to taste the sandwiches, but I hear they're wonderful. So
that's for the rest of us. Get your tickets and enjoy the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship, April 20th at Harris Park in Dodgeville. Thank you very much. Jenna Vondra, Dodgeville Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director.
Thank you for having me.
Why pick just one cheese? Why not put 3 or 4 of them all on the same sandwich? That's what I like to do. It's 9:29 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:36. It happens this time every year, and that is the senior exhibition for the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. And joining us is the Vice President for Academic Affairs, Steve Hansen. And Steve, tell us about some of the projects that the seniors have put together that we're going to see at the exhibit.
MIAD, of course, is an award-winning design and fine art college. We have programs in several different areas. We're known nationally for our animation, communication design, and illustration programs. But we also have majors that are very successful in things like product design and fine arts, including our newest majors in fashion and apparel design and a program in animation. So at the show, you really see the gamut, things like desks for people that have special needs or clothes for people with special needs to design for apps that help to bring different people groups together or teach people how to do new things. There's traditional art and animation, fantasy art. It really is an exciting mix of all different types of creative activity.
I have to ask you this question because a lot of people say that AI is going to replace a lot of jobs. Do you think things like graphic design, and some of the other careers that you've just described will be taken over by AI, or are these careers safe?
There have been shifts in the way that art and design operate throughout our recent history, but people thought that art was going to be dead when photography appeared on the scene. It's like, oh, that's the end. Nobody's going to paint anymore because you can just set up a camera. People thought that design would be completely different when we first started using a computer instead of typesetting by hand. And what we've found all the way along, at least so far, is that the human element when it comes to creativity has remained at the forefront of great art and design. And at least so far, while a computer can generate a conglomerate of things that already exist, it's really bad at inventing something that doesn't exist yet. There'll always be a place for creative humans to work alongside whatever the new tool is.
Well, of course, we're going to be able to see those projects. Let's tell everybody where it's going to be and when the exhibit opens.
So it's at MIAD in our main building. It takes place on two floors, both the river level and the main level. The exhibit itself opens on April 19.
And from the WTMJ Breaking News Center, here's Jack Rau. Jack.
Yes, some breaking news this morning. The Milwaukee Medical Examiner's Office confirming that an adult female has died in a fire on Milwaukee's south side, the fire occurring near the intersection of 8th and Hayes Avenue. The only information that the Medical Examiner's Office was able to confirm is that one adult female has passed away from that fire.
And we're also hearing there's a possibility that one of the firefighters may have been injured.
But not confirmed.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you are on top of that, and we'll have more throughout the day. Again, Jack Rau in the WTMJ Breaking News Center. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:39. It's 9:41, 69 degrees at WTMJ. Well, Ben Mulwana was born in Uganda, but he now records music in Kenosha and performs throughout Wisconsin. I asked Ben about the title of his first album.
The name of the album is
Mr. Mulwana.
Why did you use your own name in that?
So the emphasis is not on the name. The emphasis of Mr. Mulwana is on the Mr. Mr. is more than just a title. Mr. always got called to people that almost have earned it, have done something that is way beyond or has elevated them, has done something that they can look at and say, this is what I have done. And I felt like putting together the album myself, I recorded it all at home in the studio that I built from scratch. At the end of it all, I finished building this thing. It took me maybe 3 months to build, get my friends in there, get everything set up, start writing the songs, recorded the songs, mixed the songs myself, mastered them myself, and put this whole thing out. I felt like I can finally say to myself, Mr. And that's why it's Mr. Mulwana.
Ben Mulwana is fascinating. And you'll want to hear the story about how he grew up in Uganda, how he ended up in the United States, what motivated him to start composing and recording his own music. It's a great story, and you can hear all of it at 11 o'clock this morning on WTMJ Conversations, right after the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All Sports Desk. One last dance for the regular season, that is. The Milwaukee Bucks will take on the Orlando Magic for their final regular season matchup. Giannis Antetokounmpo will not be on the court as he nurses a left coleus injury. The Magic came to Milwaukee on April 10th and lost that matchup 99-117. Currently, the Bucks hold the 2 seed of the Eastern Conference, but that could change if they lose today's matchup and the 3 seeded New York Knicks defeat the Chicago Bulls. The Brewers are just 1 win away from a sweep in Baltimore. Final score of the matchup yesterday, 11-5. Baltimore jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, but it was no match for the 3 runs in the third and 4 runs in the fourth inning from the Brew Crew. The Brewers are first in the NL Central. No concrete news from the Green Bay Packers, just an update on their draft capital. Having the number 25 overall pick in the first round, then 2 picks in the second round, 2 picks in the third round, 1 pick in the fourth, 1 pick in the fifth round, 2 picks in the sixth round, and 2 picks in the seventh round. I'm Jack Rau, WTMJ Sports.
I'm a little dizzy with all those picks, Jack. Hey, listen, we're going to let you get back into the newsroom. You've got that breaking story about the fire with the fatality that happened here early this morning, and you'll have more on that at the news with the news at 10. It's 9:45 on WTMJ. It's going to be mostly sunny today. Beautiful day. If you're over towards the lake, you're going to get that great breeze. The temperature's going to get up to 75, even warmer inland. We're going to be touching close to 80. Then tonight, clear. A little bit of wind, 44 for a low. Tomorrow looks mostly sunny and mild, again with a high of 65 near the lake, 71 inland. And then Tuesday, looks like they've got some rain and storms coming in. It's going to get windy, and we're only going to get up to 55 degrees. More rain on Wednesday with 64 for a high. And Thursday, there's a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy with a high only of 58 degrees. So enjoy today. It's 65 in Port Washington. Richfield has 68. Franklin, you're up to 70, and we have 69 degrees at WTMJ at 9:49.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee LLC.
Welcome to the Sunday Sip. I'm John Mercier, joined by Tess Kirkson. She is the Director of Public Relations at the Wisconsin State Fair. Tess, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me. So excited to talk about State Fair.
Oh my gosh, me too. I love this time of year where it's kind of gray and we get to focus on the summer where it'll be warm and beautiful and the State Fair is at the center of that. When people ask you what makes our State Fair so special, what do you tell them?
You know, really what's different about our State Fair here in Wisconsin is that it's really located in an urban center of Milwaukee, which makes it different than other state fairs, which can be located in more rural areas. So it's really about bringing that urban group together and the rural group together and really showing off agriculture and all that our great state has to offer. So there's just some really unique ties that are specific to our state.
You know, I love that. That's such a great point. And it's August 1st through the 11th. The best 11 days of summer is how you guys like to describe it. And a lot of people agree with you. Before we get into some of the really cool stuff that'll be happening there, let's talk about tickets. Group sales happening now, and that's the best time to buy tickets, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you're bringing a large group, whether it's a family group or a group of work friends together, if you're 25 plus in terms of people, those tickets are $12 a piece. It's a humongous discount. And a really, really great time to buy, especially for groups. Now, if you're not a part of a group and you're coming with a group of, you know, 5, 6, we still have amazing deals for those. Until April 30th, that's going to be just $13 tickets. And now tickets when you get to the gate are $18. So we're putting these on a huge discount for these early times. So people buy early, have those tickets secured, so they don't even have to worry about it when it comes summer.
That's a great idea. So get those tickets now. As a matter of fact, in less than a month, it'll be 100 days till the State Fair opens up.
Yes.
Let's talk, Tess, about some of the cool stuff that'll be happening out there. Let's start with the main stage acts. They've been announced, some of them so far. I want you to just kind of run through them because this is a great variety.
We do. And I mean, we really pride ourselves on keeping our lineup really diverse. We can hit as many groups as possible because we know that everyone comes to the State Fair. So the first night of State Fair, Thursday, August 1st, we have Gabriel Iglesias, also known as Fluffy. He's an amazing comedian. We've actually had him here at the Fair Park before, and he does incredible. People just love his show. So people are really excited about that one. And then for the younger crowd, we have Young Gravy with Nicky Yor. Nicky Yor, too, has this huge pop song, Sunroof, that probably everyone has heard online.
Yes.
So that's going to be a really exciting one. Then we have Casting Crowns with Torrin Wells, which is going to be a fantastic show on that Monday. Of course, we have Kids Bop Live, which a lot of people kind of laugh at. Oh, it's Kids Bop, but it's a fantastic first concert to bring kids to, your grandkids to.
Yes.
Just where they play, you know, clean versions of the best pop songs. So we love that one. And then we have Riley Green with Avery Anna, who's going to be at one of our country acts, followed by Lauren Daigle with Andrew Rip, which is going to be a massive show. I think
One,
I think we're going to get close to selling out because she is very popular right now, Lauren Daigle.
Yep.
So we're excited about that. And of course, Foreigner has been a staple for us for, you know, years.
I love it.
Whenever they go on a tour, we try to pick them up so we can have Milwaukee see them. They're on their farewell tour for Saturday, August 10th at the fair with Melissa Etheridge, too, which I think is going to be a fantastic show. Fantastic kind of duo there. And then we round out the lineup on Sunday, August 11th with the Happy Together tour, which is a classic for us, too. Really well-known acts all coming together to sing those fantastic songs from kind of the 60s, 70s vibes. Really fun show. And we even have three more shows we have yet to announce. So you got to stay tuned for those ones and check out WIStateFair.com. But those are going to be really fun.
Oh, my gosh. These are great shows. And speaking of great, the Cream Puff. The Cream Puff. Everybody loves the Cream Puff. Turns 100 this year. Is that right?
Yes. I can't even believe it. I mean, the fact that the Cream Puff and the Wisconsin Bakers Association, all that started back 100 years ago, kind of in the original bakery that's actually on property still where those Cream Puffs get produced still today. And it's just so neat seeing the whole story about how they really wanted to promote Wisconsin dairy and finding a product that they could showcase that amazing Wisconsin dairy and how iconic it's become for not only Wisconsin State Fair, but the state as a whole. It's one of the most iconic desserts in the state. So it's going to be very cool celebrating 100 years of the original Cream Puff. And so many fun things are planned for that. Can't really release all the amazing details, but you're definitely going to want to stay tuned to see if there's any flavors or there's any differences in Cream Puffs this year and just what we're going to do with this kind of big year we have ahead of us.
Oh, my gosh, that's going to be exciting. Speaking of food, will the Sporkies be back again? I love the Sporkies.
Of course, we can't do State Fair without the Sporkies. Coming into our 11th year of the Sporkies, and last year for the 10th anniversary, we added a whole new category called the Drinkies. Mm-hmm. So people, our vendors got to compete to be the best drink of the fair. That was so fun, especially makes it a little bit of a better price range, too. If you don't want to necessarily spring for a Sporky, you can go for a drink at half the cost. Just so many great options for the Drinkies and the Sporkies. We're just getting those entries in now from our vendors, and we cannot wait to show the top ones that come through and really showcase those this fair. They blow me away every year with how creative they get.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be incredible. And I want to double back on something you said early on, because I think it's really special. You talked about the urban setting. And yeah. We have the barns, the livestock, all the 4-H stuff, and it's right here outside the city. That's a really special memory for a lot of people is walking through the barns, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is an opportunity for a group to get exposed to agriculture that wouldn't necessarily always have, you know, farms readily available and all that to offer. And we actually do an agriculture discovery day in April, too, which is really fun, where school students come and they get to experience agriculture in a hands-on way, which is so cool. And the state fair is just that second opportunity for that, for you to not only see animals, but also commodities that are brought into our state, like ginseng and cranberries, where Wisconsin is actually a huge producer of some of those agriculture elements.
Yeah, Wisconsin Products Pavilion. You got to check that out. One of my favorite places at the State Fair. What's the website, Tess, if people want more information on tickets and acts and all that stuff?
Yes, wistatefair.com is definitely the place to watch. And you'll see in the coming weeks here, we are just going to start popping out so many different announcements, from main stage to Sporkies to food to entertainment. Things are just going to really start popping off for us, you know, to come this summer so everyone can enjoy August 1st through 11th at the Wisconsin State Fair.
WISTATEFAIR.com. Check it out. Tess Kirkson is the Director of Public Relations at the State Fair. Tess, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the 24-hour Breaking News Center with Jack Grau and find out more about that fire on South 8th Street.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a little bit more information. Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky posting to his ex, formerly known as Twitter, that there is a fatality on that fire on 8th Street, and a firefighter has been severely burned in a rescue attempt, and he is headed to a hospital. They're expected to hold a media update soon, saying that three houses were burning near the intersection of 8th and Hayes.
Yeah, do we know, was that firefighter trapped in the building before they rescued him as well?
We're not entirely, well, yes, one firefighter became trapped, needed rescue, and was transported to St. Mary. Is that from Aaron Lipsky, Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky?
And no identity yet on the civilian fatality?
No identity yet.
Other than it was a woman. Mm-hmm. All right, Jack, I know you are on top of this. You will have more throughout the day here on WTMJ. Thank you so much for updating us on that. And Jack's going to be back in about 3 minutes from the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Coming up after the news, it is going to be Brian and David Wickert. They're going to explain how the newly released Consumer Price Index is generating negative headlines. And also, I'll be back at 11 o'clock with our WTMJ Conversations with Ben Ioanna. That's all ahead right here on TMJ.